raise your farm. Stay on the scene.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. Everybody is back where they're supposed to be. Jumping on no planes, going out west to Ted Turner Land, hanging out in Montana.
Morning.
Welcome back.
Morning.
Mr. Crenshaw.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. We're going to, throughout the show, want to hear about this little trip of yours, this little day trip, covering some basketball.
Not just a little day trip.
A little couple day trip. Going out west, but you know, again, it's
I kind of I kind of brought the weather back with me, man, because we got like frost outside this morning.
We can take the frost. It's when the snow comes.
Yeah.
Were you ever out in Montana? Now, you again, Mr. Crenshaw was gone yesterday covering Georgia State basketball.
Yes.
And was that your first time out? Well, first in the Utah airport, Salt Lake City airport.
First time there.
Where? And then you were in Montana?
It did in Montana.
How did it look to you?
Cold. Real cold.
I said, how did it look to you, not how did it feel to you?
Both of them.
Come on, man. You're going to Montana.
Adapt
and adjust.
You do the best you can. When you get there and the night you get there is 15 degrees, you do what you can to hang.
I didn't even see what happened. So how did Georgia State perform?
Performed well, but didn't win the game. I mean, and it was a big game for mid-major schools. When you talk about people who really watch the NCAA tournament and those teams that come in and mess up everybody's bracket, those mid-majors. Yeah. So that's what it was. I mean, they kind of mirrored each other. Montana's kind of like Georgia State, a team that wins their conference championship. They get that automatic bid to the tournament. They go in there and try to – you know, upset things. In Montana, they played Michigan last year. They lost to Michigan in the first round. Mm-hmm. Montana did, and of course, Georgia State lost to Cincinnati in the first round. But they're both expected to be back again. So it's potentially one of those games that people who, you know, on the tournament committee will watch to see how these guys did against each other. So Georgia State played well. The problem is Montana got 43 free throws.
How does that – well,
okay. I mean it's,
we
that's
can
home,
speculate.
That's home court advantage for –
I mean, don't say home cooking.
43 free throws.
A lot of bison burgers out there.
The whistle was blowing all night. I mean, Coach Hunter was stomping, and what can you do? You're out there. I mean, it's a great environment. The arena, they had a pretty big crowd, and they've had great basketball. They need to unfurl their banner because they won last year, won the conference championship. So that was all nice, and everybody was nice and cordial to us.
Okay.
You know, but they're tough. But you saw enough from the team to know that they're in line to have a great season. I mean, and they're starting off with tough opponents. And they're starting out with, you know, cookie cutter D2 teams or whatever. They started out with East Tennessee State, a team that won 25 games last year, and then their second game. And then their home Tuesday night against Mercer, which is an old rivalry. I mean, the rivalry right now is called Georgia Southern, but Georgia State has had an old rivalry with Mercer, and that's Tuesday night.
All right, man. Well, welcome back.
Great to be back.
No problems with the flight?
No.
Everything was good.
Everything was fine. Landing is a little windy in Salt Lake City, but other than that, okay.
We appreciated the pictures, by the way.
Yeah, it's just a few pictures back. Yeah,
we appreciated the pictures.
It was nice.
No Buffalo Roman, you know.
The only thing I saw was a big taxidermied grizzly bear there in the park in the airport. It's a big. He's a big fella, man.
Well, yeah, and taxidermy is the key word there. Actually, I don't even know if we pronounced it right, but
either way, he's preserved. And he's standing there. I asked the lady, I said, are there any bear around here where we're staying? She says, the bear, they're about 10 miles away. He said, well, we've had trouble with mountain lions coming into town.
There's the conversations that take place out there that don't take place here and vice versa. Because we got stuff that they don't have out there.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, let's just start off. Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day to all.
Throughout the show, we will be mentioning that.
Absolutely.
And something I'm looking forward to that we have done, you and I have done the last few years,
mm-hmm.
going to end the show with a very, very, very special veteran telling a unique story and giving a perspective from somebody who, A, there's not many of these guys left around, and again, B, we'll tell you why his perspective is different, but, you know.
Somebody who's actually there.
Was there. If you remember the beginning of Saving Private Ryan, you're going to hear from somebody who was there firsthand now. So we've done this every year. So again, happy Veterans Day. Also, there's a lot of things going on around the city or throughout the state of Georgia on this Veterans Day, special deals and things like. Mm-hmm. You can get your car washed for free if you're a veteran today.
How about that?
Yeah, man. So I guess there's a list throughout the show. We'll tell you about that. Also, as the Falcons get ready for their matchup in Cleveland, going to hear from Coach Dan Quinn. As we do, he visits here John and Hugh every Wednesday. And so we're going to replay that interview so you can hear the coach's thoughts as they prepare for this matchup. Going to have Mike Conti on the show, hopefully, talking not only Falcons, but Atlanta United.
That's happening today, too.
Yeah. And you can hear that game, that matchup right here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And a couple other folks are going to join us to talk about college football from yesterday. Now, how much did you get a chance to watch yesterday?
Not a whole lot. Because, I mean, I was able to watch some on the flight, some of the early games on the flight coming in and watch some of those games. Didn't get to watch much of the Georgia game. Didn't get to watch much of the Tech game, but I was near where the Tech game was going on.
Okay.
I land yesterday, and I get home about 3 in the afternoon. My wife suits me up and whisks me off to a wedding. Why are you laughing, man?
Because I'm having that picture in my head. You're coming home dropping a bag. She's throwing you down and putting pants on you like a 5-year-old. Come on, we're getting dressed. You got to go to church. Come on.
We went to a wedding, which is actually taking place at a hotel down near Georgia Tech.
Okay.
And so we walk into the lobby, and there are a bunch of Miami people there. A bunch of Miami fans. They're all dressed up in the green. There was one guy that was just rip-roaring. He had his own bottle of, like, Smirnoff, and he's walking through the lobby just taking a swig, and he was, I guess he was getting thoroughly insulated before going out in the cold.
Okay.
But he was like.
That's the guy you want to walk around with a tape recorder in front of.
Really?
Or behind.
He probably didn't feel anything, and he probably can't tell you who won or lost the game or anything. But he was getting nice and tight before it happened. And so I was over at that till about after 10 o'clock last night. So, yeah.
So there's a nap in your future.
Oh, soon as we get done. but it's nice. Congratulations to the couple, too, Ashley and Leroy. They got married, and congratulations to them.
We're going to jump in with both feet with the college football matchups from yesterday, at least the relevant ones, going into the playoff and those teams. It really wasn't much movement. Everybody did what they were supposed to do as far as the top teams, and you could pick and choose where you want to look at and dissect and have some issues with, and there were some things that happened in the Georgia game I want to bring up to you, so we're going to get into that at 6:20. Also, this Le'Veon Bell thing.
Yep.
It's pretty much a done deal, and I think James Conner's going into concussion protocol.
Right, right.
Seal that deal. He was coming back. We heard comments from Art Rooney, what is it, the fourth or fifth or third? He's like the Georgia Bulldog. I don't know how many generations there are there, but whoever the owner is right now, because Dan Rooney passed.
Right.
So I think he's the third. Anyway, he came out on a radio show saying that Le'Veon was going to report on Tuesday. Not so much.
Yeah.
That has been changed. And I'm wondering, this has to do with James Conner. Again, him going into protocol. Would he have come back had that not happened? Doesn't really matter at this point. His Pittsburgh career is pretty much over. I want throughout the show ask you from time to time, and we're really going to be NFL heavy after 8 o'clock, where do you think he lands? Okay? Just think about it for a minute. Where do you think he lands?
Okay.
But he was also the subject of a survey that I started yesterday when you weren't here.
Yes.
Now, here's the deal. With Le'Veon doing what he was doing back and forth with the Steelers, it got me to thinking this past week that here we go again. This position, this coveted skill position in the NFL, the people that are great at it don't have the power they used to. The days of certain running backs holding teams' feet to the fire, the Emmitts and the Berries and even Adrian Petersons, those days are gone. And you can blame it on cybermetrics and saying that this position is as important as it used to be, or we can get another guy to do this, that, and the other, but we don't need to kowtow.
I blame it on something else.
Okay, well, who do you blame it on?
I blame it on New England Patriots. Because they don't give a whatever about a running back. But they always find somebody that gets the job done for them. You know, so to me, if you're looking at them as a model, you want to, that's what you see.
They're also an outlier because they got a one-of-a-kind quarterback. That's why they can afford to do that.
Well, that too, though, but just,
and
you
coach.
Know, but you still got to have a line. You still got to have all the other pieces. Tom Brady can't come out there and beat you by himself. So, I mean, this running back does play a role. He has to be serviceable enough. And on certain days, he has a big game, but they don't lean on him to do that.
Okay.
And so, I mean, to me, that's one of the reasons why other teams say, well, if New England don't need one, we don't need one either.
Be that as it may.
Yeah.
That position you have seen does not hold the cachet it once did. Would you agree?
It does.
And so yesterday, Bo and I put this out there, and it's on our website at 92.9 The Game. This is one of those positions I'm going to miss. And it's happened not only in the NFL, but it's happened in basketball and baseball. So here are the three I want you to wrap your mind around. The big man in the NBA, the premier base dealer in Major League Baseball, and the running back in the NFL. All positions, I'm not saying are completely going away, but the importance of that skill position and the person who's playing it doesn't have the gravitas that it once did. And I want you to tell me, of those three, if they're going away, which one will you miss?
I don't think running back's going away.
I'm saying
it doesn't happen. Todd Gurley ain't going away. Saquon Barkley ain't going away.
Hang on. I'm not saying it's going away, but it doesn't have what it used to have. And because of that, which one will you miss the most? This is the three we threw out there. You ain't got to agree with the positions I chose, but of those three, those positions have definitely changed. The importance of them. You just gave a description of why New England feels that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're making my point.
If they're doing it and winning.
So I'm saying to you, of those three, which one would you miss the most, not having the importance it once did?
Well, I've been missing it. That's speed in baseball.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I've been missing for the longest. To me, that's my baseball that I grew up watching. The spot that used to go for somebody to be a pinch runner late in the game goes to a setup to the setup to the setup man in the bullpen. That's who has that spot on the roster now.
All right. Well, anyway, the survey is up. Please go and participate. We're going to give you percentages throughout the show again. Of those three, which one you miss the most? You'll find it up on the website at 92.9 The Game. Let's talk college football next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg, on this Veterans Day morning.
Morning.
And up in your area, well, I guess get this out. I'm going to do this throughout the show.
Yeah.
In Decatur, Austin's Burritos, they're serving free roadie-sized burritos to our active military, active reserve, and U.S. military vets all day this Sunday and Monday.
What's roadie size?
You never been? We'll see. Okay. I actually had that job, and I'm so proud of the fact that I was a roadie. It's the guy who carries the equipment.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know roadie, but I mean, what's the roadie
size?
Well,
roadies eat more than usual. Okay. Because they're used to carrying equipment.
Okay.
But the things I learned being a roadie,
yeah.
the virtues of duct tape, I'm telling you, you can do anything with duct tape. Did lighting, too. But anyway, yeah, Austin's Burritos and Tequila. Listen, I'm on a website right now. Just go to Veterans Day, and people have all these deals and meals going on around the city. So,
yeah.
And, excuse me, throughout the state of Georgia. So, wanted to bring that up, so.
That's probably a deal near you, wherever you may be. You probably got some deals.
That's where we got the dog a few weeks back.
Oh, yeah.
Third week.
Yeah.
Get to pray for me, Sam.
Third week.
This dog is just.
You really.
Got a pit bull laying in my bed. By the way, it's a punchline to a joke, I'm sure, someplace. But anyway. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg. So yesterday's action, you didn't see much of it, but you didn't really miss a whole lot.
You don't think so?
But one thing I did notice, and getting to the Georgia game. Just taking a second. If I had to reach for something, was their red zone play in the first half. And they addressed that. So what I saw at the end of the day, though I had some issues with that, and you could see the frustration on Jacob Fromm's face, and he actually went into a couple sideline meetings. They showed when the offensive line got together, he stuck his face up in there, and they had some animated conversations.
Choice words.
And the guys were talking about, well, I don't know if anybody screwed each other. But
no, not saying never just – he's being very selective. And
but you know what that was? Leader. And we saw the result of it. That's a championship team. They had some problems. Went there, worked them out, made the adjustments.
Yep.
And it came out and we saw the final score. But that's about the only thing I can think of. And the fact that I was kind of upset that Holyfield didn't get seven more yards.
He needed
seven. Yeah. And it was 93 yards. Back-to-back weeks where both running backs got over 100 yards. Were that to happen.
Wow.
But he ended with 93. So, I don't see the hiccup coming from them. Yesterday, you weren't here. I talked about, and that includes, our friends at Georgia Tech. Sorry, but you ain't handling this team this year. I said that I think Georgia's ascension into that Final Four will come from Notre Dame. I didn't think it was going to happen yesterday. I think it's going to be from a team that's actually sitting at 5-4 right now, and that's USC, because it's going to come from a rival. All right. I think this is the year that Michigan gets past Ohio State. That's going to be their big problem. Alabama's going to run the table. I think Clemson's got no problems. This is just me. I think Notre Dame is going to have a loss that's going to bump Georgia in to that final playoff spot.
No, I don't think so. I think Notre Dame's there. I think they go all the way. And to me, in a way, is it kind of like having a second ACC team? I mean, they're an independent, but they play five ACC teams every year that makes up their schedule. And you figure by them being a quasi-member of a conference, it adds a little more validity to their schedule because people said over the years, well, they still play the military schools. They're always going to play Stanford. They're always going to play Southern Cal. All these certain teams they always play. But now you get these guys from the ACC that end up on their schedule, like Florida State. Beginning of the year, that was supposed to be a huge game for them. Wasn't much for them last night.
Nope.
So, I mean, that's
– and they wore them ugly green jerseys.
Yeah,
it seems like every time they wear those, they lose.
Yeah. They came out.
Nah, last night it wasn't the case.
It was not the case. So I think Notre Dame runs the table. There's nobody there to stop them. I think the big thing comes down really to this SEC championship game and what happens there. If Georgia goes there and beats Alabama, then what? You know, to me, that's the big question. Do you still let Alabama into the party?
That's what everybody's saying. They're still going to get in.
But that's the thing. Are you going to squeeze out Notre Dame? No, you would not squeeze out Notre Dame. And if Michigan does what they look like they're going to do up in the Big Ten right now, you're not going to squeeze them out either. So, I mean, that's the whole question. Who's out? You know, Georgia wins the conference championship game. They're in it. I don't know where this leaves Saban and Alabama. And, I mean, a lot of people want Alabama in, obviously, because of what they've done.
We saw what happened last year. They didn't even win it. They got in.
Because of the intrigue that they bring to. And the way they've been just handling their business. They didn't, like, break the scoreboard on Mississippi State last night, and I still say if they played that game in Starkville, Mississippi State maybe give them a tougher time than they gave them in Tuscaloosa. They did what they had to do to get the win. I just think, you know, that makes the spotlight even hotter on what happens at Mercedes-Benz Stadium next month.
Again, I started this off with, you know, Georgia's ascent into that Final Four. You know, we all want to see that happen.
Right.
Obviously, going to be the SEC championship game played here, but you don't get that taste of that championship out of your mouth like this Georgia team is trying to do and pretending like it didn't happen. And I'm sure, yeah, they've moved on, but it's still there. It's still there, man. And it's still there even for those of us who have no connection with that university in this program. Man, them dudes were one play away. And yeah, I want to see him get back. I don't want to see Notre Dame there. And I just think of the four. And again, we went into this conversation yesterday, coming off the heels of we didn't think anything was going to happen with the top two, especially Clemson putting 77 points up last week.
Right.
You know, so I thought that between Michigan and Notre Dame, Notre Dame was the one that was going to have a hiccup because for whatever reason, Michigan they're playing in a way that. It seems like finally everything is coming. And I'm not saying this because of, you know, this is one of the arguments I have in my house. I don't care about the University of Michigan, yet I want my wife to be happy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But
yes.
At the end of the day, I just don't care. When they play something, like when they play, if they had played Northwestern or anything from Chicago or anything from Georgia, no, you know, sorry. when the Tigers were playing the Cubs or the White Sox, sorry, you know, but. If I got no team in the fight, I want them to win. I want you to be happy. But they've got a quarterback now at Patterson. All of the old coaches' picks, this is all Harbaugh's team right now. And what we're seeing this year is an opportunity. And the opportunity may have come from Urban Meyer's hiccup earlier in the year, him not being there for the first three games, even though they didn't really lose. But the Geiger count is a little off with Ohio State this year.
Yeah, it is.
It's just a little off, you know, to where you don't see them being that power.
First of all, the problem with Urban Meyer and whatnot, the perception and the fact that he's back, how people may feel about the program, the fact that they kept him, hung on to him regardless of what people may say and what rocks people may throw at him. But then they go and lay an egg and just get flattened at Purdue. And I think a lot of people still can't get past that. I know I can't.
No.
Purdue and you got smashed, yeah. You know. So that's the thing that gets me about Ohio State.
So they're at number 10, 8-1 right now. Just that one loss, but a bad one loss. Michigan's loss came with the team that's sitting right above them. So that's all good.
Yeah.
There's two teams I'm no longer putting my eggs in their basket. And Notre Dame's one, and the other one is right behind Georgia. And they barely squeaked out against Oklahoma State last night, and that's Oklahoma.
Yep.
They have disappointed me year after year. So I don't care. They can go kick rocks, as you said. Those are the two teams.
No love for Oklahoma?
No love
for Oklahoma.
I got none.
Wow.
Over there in Tornado Alley. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Sam and Greg talking college football from yesterday. Who else did you want to see perform little better, or you thought well, we're going to lose.
Let's talk about the folks over here on North Avenue, at the North Avenue Trade
we
School.
We touched on them yesterday.
You talked about them yesterday. They went out and did the job last night. They did what they did against Virginia Tech. The lead and the ball are things that are supposed to allow Georgia Tech to take down most any opponent. They got the lead on Miami, of course. Once they get the football in the lead, you don't see the ball again until late in the game and whatnot. And that's the way that offense is whole design. And when it works the way it does last night, the way it did against Virginia Tech, you get a Georgia Tech win. That's 6 wins now for this Georgia Tech team that stumbled out of the gate, and now all of a sudden they're playing their best football of the year. So it was an impressive win. I've been reading on Twitter, a lot of folks down in South Florida not happy with Mark Richt. They're not saying that he should go, but they're saying he needs to shake up his coaching staff, and that's the whole thing. How loyal is he to the guys around him? Because he feels like people feel like the play calling has gotten a little stale, and you know, the same thing is consistently happening to this Miami team. Right, they expect it to be this great team this year, and it's simply not that.
And they came so close last year.
Yep.
I mean, just right on the heels of getting there, and the conversations were – I ain't seen that chain all year, by the way. But then again, haven't seen too many Miami games.
I saw some people where I was last night for the wedding in the hotel. I saw some people walking in with T-shirts. Oh. You got shirts with the chain on it. But I tell you what, they weren't making much noise after it was over. They were pretty quiet. They came back. Well, I don't know if they stopped by the varsity or something, but they were very quiet when they came back.
All right, Georgia, we talked about Georgia Tech being bowl eligible. You know who I was happy to see became bowl eligible yesterday?
That.
Sun Devils.
How about
Arizona
that?
Herm Edwards.
For coach.
And got there over Chip Kelly.
Yep, beat
which
UCLA.
Is always nice to see.
That's good for coach. I mean, somebody.
Absolutely.
A lot of people had questions about him getting back in after being out for so long and you know, just being a commentator and also not going back in at the professional level, but at the collegiate level.
Right.
And, you know, how would he do with that? I mean, that's any college head coach will tell you it's a grind because – the biggest part of it, yeah, you got to win on Saturdays, but also recruiting. You know what I mean? Trying to keep up. And today's recruiting is that's a whole different kettle of fish.
He's out there near his home. He's comfortable, and I think he needed a challenge. Those guys would talk about him wanting to coach. You know, every once in a while, it'd be kind of off the beaten path conversation on ESPN, and they talk about Herm Edwards and wanting to dip his toe back into coaching and mentor some young kids and. Was looking for the right fit. And this is over the last few years. This is nothing that happened recently. And so I was, in fact, we were out there in Tahoe. And I was talking to him about that. Is he going to get back in? And he's going, I'm hoping. You know how he talks. I'm hoping. So, and this is a guy, you talked about somebody being in the gym early. Was it Harper?
Yeah.
You were talking about?
Yeah, we're on road trips. Yeah.
Elaborate on that for a second. I think they like to hear that. Harper keeps in shape on the road there, and he's
well.
Just...
In the road trip, we go on the road trip with the Georgia State, you know, football team, and it was a late in the game start. We have some time in the morning. We all go and try to do something fitness wise, and you know, Harper goes in and goes hard, man.
Does he?
He does. He looks.
And if not, the Georgia State trainer will keep you.
Oh, Danica. Now that's what she's with the men's basketball team.
Yeah,
and
but...
she really works out. But then again, that's part of her. What she has to do.
We're talking about the woman, in case you don't know who we're talking about. You remember the famous footage of Coach Hunter falling off the
– And she's the lady
– She's the one in the beige pants.
Trying to pick up Coach. Come on, Coach, get up. You know, but, I mean, she really works with the guys and, you know, gets them ready to play. And she does a tremendous job. But, man, she goes at it in the gym. She works out.
We got it up next, man.
High school football. We got some surprises.
Got some stuff going on, right?
Got some prizes. Some people disappearing from the state playoffs. Gabriel Stovall from Covington News. Straight ahead coming up on this game day Sunday morning.
Thank you.
Sports
for 2 days.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That's where you can hear Sam and Greg on a beautiful Sunday morning. And I know it's a little cold outside, but we got no rain coming as far as I can see.
No.
It's just a little
It's beautiful
it's crisp.
Outside. Beautiful. It looks crisp. Beautiful sky outside. We're 9 floors up here in the wonderful Kia Studios in lovely Midtown Atlanta.
All day yesterday, I was trying. I only attempted twice. And Dr. Dale tried. And I think Coach John, we could not get that game day Saturday morning like
really?
You. We all
no.
did. It was like Howard Cosell impressions.
No.
Or Sinatra or whoever. That voice that everybody knows and they think they can do the impression of, but Couldn't do it, man. So I was glad to hear that a second ago. I want to hear throughout the morning. Guess what?
Yes.
We are going out to the Hollywood of the South. I mean, this is officially
yes.
the Hollywood of the South. They trademarked it, copyrighted it, put it in stone. Out to Covington.
Out to Covington.
To your boy.
Gabriel Stovall from Covington News. Good morning to you. I don't know if you got your makeup on and got your, you know, ready for your close-up.
Come on now.
well, good morning, Sam, guys. Hey, the good thing is we're on the radio and I'm on the phone, so nobody can see how ugly I am this morning.
Stop it.
Gabriel, we're through the first weekend of state football playoffs, high school football playoffs. Of course, Eastside, one of the great stories out your way. Your thoughts about what you saw around the state and especially around Metro Atlanta on Friday night? Any big surprises jump out for you?
Well, man, I'll be honest with you. Like you said, of course, you know, we're covering hard what Eastside is doing down there, making history, first team in the county to finish a regular season undefeated. They had a pretty game, Hardaway team. They pushed by them, though. But I'll be honest, man, I've been kind of watching all season, and it may not be the biggest surprise out there, but I've been watching the way Dutchtown's been playing over in Class 5A and how they – you know, have kind of trucked through that season and Class 5A, beat Stockbridge for region title, dominated their first-round opponent. They look solid, man. And then also Class 5A, big upset for me anyway, was at Loganville, coming in as the number 4 seed, yeah. beat the number 1 team out of Region 5 Southwest DeKalb, man. So big shout-out to Coach Scott Humphreys, what he's doing. They were 2-8 last year, and so they're turning it around a little bit in Class 5A. So Those are the kind of shockers for me this coming into this week, man.
There were some surprises in the DeKalb County, period. I mean, I think with Tucker and Stevenson, some programs we're used to seeing do well in the postseason gone and on the first weekend.
I mean, in Stevenson, they kind of got handled, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so it was definitely tough to see those teams kind of walk out of the playoffs early and lose in the dominating fashion they did. Also, men in 7A, kind of in the Fulton, Atlanta area, you know, some people are talking about Westlake and how they're surprised at what they're doing, but then I also remind them, man, Westlake's been kind of winning 9 and 10 games for a while since 2014, but they are definitely making a strong push as well, maybe kind of raising some eyebrows about what they're doing in Class 7A.
From Covington News, Gabriel Stovall joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Gabriel, Sam knows that there's only one program I care about. Tell me what I need to know about McEachern.
McEachern, my. Well, listen, McEachern, they've got a pretty tough draw, and it's going to be interesting. I've been watching them as I track the rankings and different things of that nature. You know, they've got Colquitt, so I'm sorry. I know it's your team, it's your squad, but I don't see anybody doing too much.
Listen, he's already preparing the football funeral for these guys. Listen, he's already prepared it.
You know, I'm bumping over my words and stumbling, trying to find the angle, man. But I saw that Colquitt team firsthand against Alcove earlier this year, and I mean, they beat them like 56-0. They could have put 100 on them. No offense to Alcove. Colquitt is just that good, man. They are a machine this year. So going to take a miracle for McEachern to get past that one.
Yeah, and I heard what happened in Corky Kell. You know, we'll have another conversation about Coach Propes and what he's doing down there and what they got in the water down there. But I know there's some other stories Sam wanted to get to. And in fact, there's a real feel-good one, right?
Yeah, go ahead, Greg. You talk about the one.
Well, I heard you guys talking about this and the importance of the Pike County win.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's major. Everybody knows what's going on down there in that area with the loss of the player earlier in the season to injury, and you know, kind of happening around the same time the former Westlake guy had got hurt. But just a major, I think kind of just a story of how a community and a team can kind of just rally together for a cause. Every now and then, you'll see one of those situations where maybe a team, some people feel like talent-wise, maybe not always the best, but just something that they can gravitate to and rally around. Pike County's done that, got a big old win, raised some eyebrows in the first round, and it'll be interesting to see what they do going forward. But, I mean, definitely happy for what they were able to accomplish in the first round. They deserve it. That community does down there.
They're going out and honoring Dylan Thomas just the right way. Got a little time before I finish up here with Gabriel Stovall, a couple of the news. Gabriel, you had a surprise really out in your area at Newton High School. with a departure for Coach. Give us a little bit about that.
Yeah, man. Coach Terrence Banks been there for 6 years. Was actually kind of the elder statesman in the Newton County area as far as coaches go. And, man, they have an up-and-down season, some tough wins, some tough losses. He actually ended up resigning kind of abruptly before the playoffs started. And I don't know, man. It was just one of those things. You know, I think Coach Banks and you and I, we kind of talked about, you know, kind of sometimes maybe a victim of your own success. Coach Banks was down there, kind of helped put Newton on the map. Seven straight playoff appearances, which is a record for that school's history. Got about 40 guys playing D1 ball, some Power 5. But with that success comes the raise up of expectations. And, you know, sometimes that's just, you know, people just start to expect a little bit more. And I don't know, he kind of had a difficult season this year. But I feel good about the fact that he'll probably land somewhere well next year. Take some time off for the family. Newton will have a new voice. They've got an interim guy there, Cameo Grant, who everybody seems to love, players, coaches, staff at the school. So they may already have their guy in place, but we'll see. He's been around that program for about 10 years himself. But, yeah, man, Newton will be looking for a new head coach in the offseason. Of course, they lost to West Forsyth last week, so we'll be keeping an eye on that down in Covington.
All right. Well, Gabriel Stovall, we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Gabriel Stovall1. Gabriel Stovall, numeral 1. You can follow him on Twitter. He keeps up with things high school-wise and collegiate-wise. He's all over the place. You're on your way to Augusta this morning, right?
Yeah, actually, I'm in Augusta right now, okay. Man. I got a little church work to do this morning. All I'm right. Actually going to take me about another 2-hour nap before I get moving.
Appreciate you getting up and joining us, Gabriel.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Safe Thanks travels.
Yeah. The Hollywood of the South.
Yeah.
Stuff going on in the shooting today. Listen, speaking of Hollywood, I got a shot for you guys to get some of these jobs in the film and TV projects. Casting call is up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.